سلام کعبه دلها حسین جان، سلام شمع ما فلها حسین جانم،
حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جان.
السلام علیکم و رحمت الله و برکاته. All praise and glory belongs to Allah, the creator of this universe, the one who created everything with a specific part, that part leads the creation to him. When we look at our lives, we see that we always come up to a place where we have to decide between one or the other. We have to decide in what has been told to us to be the right path and what has been told to us to be the wrong path. The decisions that we make determines the destination that we will end up. But as I said to you, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has predetermined the path of every creation to that point where they will reach. That predetermined path and the destination is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now if you look at the creation in matter or non-matter, at the end of the day where they will end up is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A mu'min will end up in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a kafir will end up in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a fasiq, a fajir will end up in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A mu'min being a believer, kafir being an unbeliever, somebody who does commit the atrocities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala either in private or open. Every single person, regardless of what qualities and character that person has, is going to end up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are going to be judged and we are going to be given a place which is going to be of pleasure or of pain. Now, what we think about is that our deeds are going to be tallied on that day. Right? So when we do something good or we do something bad, the deeds are tallied on that day. What we forget about is that every single day from the time that we wake up till the time we go to sleep, our deeds are being tallied. Whatever good you and I are doing, they are being tallied, they are being written. Whatever bad we are doing, they are being tallied and they are being written. It's just that in this world, we do not see our good and we do not see our bad in its entirety. What we see are symptoms or effect of our goodness and bad. So you will see the effect, somebody who has this bad person inside of them, you will see the effect that they will be lying, they will be doing backbiting, they will be doing tale-telling, they will be committing the sins that are they're not supposed to. So actually our actions are a projection of who we are inside. If you see somebody obeying the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing the good deeds, helping others, there is a projection of what that person is from inside. Right? So whatever that person is from inside, at the end of their life, they will be shown to everybody. And in that day, not even an atom worth of good or evil will be hidden. It will be shown. The topic that we have started with is the concept of exam or imtihan or test. Okay. And in order for us to understand this concept, we started yesterday with two of them. One, if anybody remembers, what was the concept that we started off with? That everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created is means. Thank you. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created is means. And what is this one end? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the rest of the things, whatever that your eye can see or your eye cannot see, whether you see it now or you will see it in the future, whether you use the telescope to see the 240, 80 billion galaxies, the trillions of planets or stars, or we cannot see. Whatever has been created is created as means. And these means are connected together and they end up at the end, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, oxygen is means for what? What does oxygen do to you?
Helps you breathe.
So oxygen is means, it helps you breathe. You, when you take oxygen inside, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the system that way, that it takes the, you know, it diffuses into the blood gets the energy, the blood flows in throughout your body, and all of the system that this carbon-based machinery is running on is on combustion, which is taken from the oxygen. You know your car breathes, the car that you came into? It breathes. If it stops breathing, the car will not run. The air goes inside, it gets mixed up with the fuel, it, you know, there's fire inside of the engine, and that, you know, the wheels, they start going and you move. That's a metal-based machine, and your body is a carbon-based machine. Both are machines. For the metal-based machine, what do you think is the fuel for it? What is it? The gas, right? What is the fuel for your carbon-based? The food that you eat, right? That's also fuel. You have your carbohydrates, you have your vitamins and your protein, right? So basically you go to Shell or you go to Exxon, you go to what other gas station you have, Bucky's or whatever. You go there, you park the car and somebody puts the gas inside. What happens with you is you go to one of the restaurants or you go in front of the kitchen table and then your mother is the one feeding you with the fuel. You park yourself at the chair of the dining table. Majority of it is self-serve, right? Some of the gases are full-serve, so they put the fuel inside. When we are young, we are self-serve. We are full-serve, right? Like the mother, they will feed you, and when you grow up, then you feed yourself. So this body now, with all of the things that are there, the food, the oxygen, and everything else that is going inside is means to another means, and your body is running. Now, what do you think your body is running is a means to something else? It should be to something else, right? Should be to play Minecraft, it should be to play PS4. You know, that energy you burn, right? You burn your energy, whatever food that you've taken, when you play 2 hours or 4 hours of Minecraft, which you will be playing in the next couple of days because it's Thanksgiving holiday, and you don't have to, you know, wake up and go to school. That's what you're doing. You're burning energy. Right? You're transferring this energy that you have taken through food, and then that energy is getting changed into another shape where you're a controller and you're moving the guy and making all of this Minecraft stuff. What would your dad do? It's the same thing. Goes to work, utilizes this energy, you know, brings some more energy, brings that money which actually feeds you, and the cycle continues. If this cycle does not have an end, then what's the point of all of these means to be created? They're purposeless. If all it happens is that you grow up, you go through your elementary school, your kindergarten, your elementary school, your high school, your university, you get a job, you earn money, you put in the energy, you go grow up, you get married, you have children, then these children the same way and same way. And this cycle is a closed loop, and then you die and you go into the earth, the energy gets transferred back into the earth, the grass grows, the cow eats, the cow is eaten by human beings, and then they have kids and so forth. And this cycle would have a closed loop and would have no end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not create without a purpose. He does not create without an end. And whatever is going to be the end cannot be nothing, should be after that. That's the only way it's going to end. Otherwise, it's just a circle going on and on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave movement to everything. Gave that energy. Right? Because you guys will probably learn when you grow up that energy cannot be created, right? Or destroyed. Thank you. Now we can talk. Okay. Oh, but alhamdulillah, it's a week ago. All right. So if you get inside a love salawat now, I know we can talk about this. So energy cannot be created or destroyed, right? But if it cannot be created and it cannot be destroyed, right? But where did it first start? In the science, it was in the science. Maybe the lab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? But if you cannot create it and you cannot destroy it, you see, like, it cannot be created, so, and it cannot be destroyed. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Where did it start?
Allah.
But you, right, like, yeah, Allah, you're right. But if you cannot create it and you cannot destroy it, then where did it start?
He has a magical power.
It's all,
right.
Phrase is only for
human, but it is kind of close to reality. So basically, energy cannot be created or destroyed. What if there was a being of energy that cannot be created or destroyed?
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
There was a being of energy that cannot be created or destroyed, that transferred this energy into everything else. He transferred this energy into everything else, and still now that energy continues. Right? Till now, this energy continues. Who is that being that cannot be created or destroyed? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Wal awwalu wal akhir. That's amazing. If you can wrap your mind around it. It's amazing. The reason why a sun has energy is because it's the energy given. Which energy given? The energy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how much energy given to the sun? Not that much. But how strong is the sun? I told you one time before, the amount of energy that the sun emanates in 1 second can power the United States of America for 4 million years. In 1 second, the energy that comes out of the sun can power the whole of United States of America for 4 million years. And how many things do you have in your electrical sockets? You know, in 2016, there will be 6.4 billion devices that are going to be connected to the internet. How many? 6.4 billion. We have about 7 billion human beings. 7 billion human beings, and there are 6.4 devices that are connected to the internet. So therefore, basically, where you can kind of come to a conclusion that all of the human beings are connected to the internet. If they're not yet, they will be. Right. So just imagine, you know, just all of the devices, just the phones that are connected to the, or the iPads, or all of this that is connected to the internet. Forget about the TVs. Forget about the big shiny lights that you see everywhere. For 4 million years, all of that can be powered with the power emanating in the sun for 1 second. It's powerful, no? It's the smallest star in the universe. It's the smallest star in the universe. Has so much power that it can power the whole of the United States of America for 4 million years. Can you imagine the energy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have? You couldn't? It's mind-boggling.
I'm still with the biggest sun.
start.
Yeah, but it's not the biggest. It's like the smallest one. Yeah.
The star's bigger than that, and Allah's way powerful.
Right. But this is what I'm saying. That all of this that He has created, right? 240 or 80. Let's just, for now, let's come up with a number so that I don't have to say 240 and 280. So, just for the sake of argument, we'll say 280 billion galaxies. We're given energy. The energy that cannot be created or destroyed was given energy by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How did He do it? He just said, be, and it became. And this saying, be, is also just for us to understand. He's just saying, be, is for us to understand. All of this universe taking the energy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all of the movement that you see, the movement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do you think that He created all of that abas, without a purpose? He did not create all of this without a purpose. So, what is Quran? Means. Right? You with me now? So this was part of the creation. And now we're talking about the religious aspect that we have. So Quran is means. Namaz is means. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is
means.
Aima masumin are means. Okay. Yes? The question that you and I have to ask, and what research we have to do, is what are the means for? Right. They are means for us to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. True? What is the sun means for? What is the sun means for?
To let you live.
Right. But you know, when you answer my questions, I'm usually from the beginning that I ask you the question is kind of related. So what is Quran means for? For us to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Namaz is means for us to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is means for us to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the sun means for? For us to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever that He has created is means for that ultimate end, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know how many people have gotten close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by just looking at the sun? Do you know how many people get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just by looking at the stars? There was a lady who came up to Aghay Bahjat and she said to Ayatollah Bahjat, This mic is means for for my voice to get to your ears, right? All of this that is happening is probably my own fault, so it's okay. Just don't get it distracted, okay? So she came up to Ayatollah Bahjat Rahmatullah and she said to him that, you know, I have this disease of being depressed. What should I do? And he said, 2 hours before, right? 2 hours before Fajr, wake up and just look at the sky. 2 hours before Fajr, just get up and look at the sky. He didn't say, read dua, do this, do that. What did he say? 2 hours before Fajr, wake up and look at the sky. This lady did that and she was cured of the disease of depression. She did that and she was cured from the disease of depression. Why? When she would look at the stars and she would look at her. What are my problems? When you get stressed, you get stressed because of some problems. And these problems happen to become so huge in your mind that it overtakes your life. Like if you get stressed, your internet doesn't work. What happens? If the internet doesn't work, you're stressed, you're depressed. What am I going to do? How am I going to spend time? How am I going to play this, that, and the other? And it becomes so overpowerful that you become stressed. But if you would just at that time go up and look at the stars, you would know that you're nobody. In this vast universe, in this massive universe, you are nobody. You're not even an iota, you're nothing to be even mentioned. What are the problems that you have? The internet not working? Look at the universe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. Who are you to get this little bit of a problem overshadow you to become depressed? Look at the universe, look at the stars. With the vastness that they have, what is the problem in front of you? It's nothing. The one who has created all of this vastness cannot cure the problem that you and I have. The one who has created this massive universe cannot cure your problem that your internet not working.
SubhanAllah.
You cannot cure that. You cannot get rid of that. And even in the whole scheme of things, the internet never worked. You would be actually a lot closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when the internet is not working, you are free now. Your willpower is free now. You can think on your own now. You can have an independent thought. You can look at your parents now. You can look at their faces now instead of the screen of an iPad. You can look at your brother and sister now. You can find the love that you had lost in the internet. You can find it again now. Okay? So, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created is means, and the means, they all get connected to another means which take you towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What was the second concept that we discussed? That everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, He has created for
a test.
Thank you. You guys are so lovely. When you answer these questions, my heart becomes like, you know, like this big, and I feel like talking to you. And I feel like that we are accomplishing something, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's special mercy is upon us. It's wonderful. If you can recite aloud salawat for my brothers and also my sisters as well.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And there are many verses in the Holy Quran that deals with this particular topic. If we get a chance, we will come up with each verse and we will talk about it. But I want to have this first introduction given to you so that when we talk about the verses, this concept becomes more clear for you. So whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, He has created it for a test. Right. Okay. So why should He test you and I? Why should He test you? To see how strong you are. Does He need to know how strong you are?
No.
Does He need to know how strong you are? Does He need to know what your potential is? Does He need to know whether you're going to do right or wrong? Does He need to know that you're going to get up for Fajr or not? Does He need to know that you're going to use the means in the right way or not?
No.
He doesn't need to know. Who needs to know? You need to know and I need to know. And this that you need to know and I need to know will be shown to us on the Day of Judgment. When I see one of my brothers, you know, he is raised from the grave and he's got light coming out of him. And he's got this beautiful, you know, clothes that are just, you know, the angels are all around him saying, please welcome, you know, they're welcoming him. There's like red carpet, there's a limousine standing there. And my brother or my sister is walking up to that and, you know, I'm looking at them like, wow. Yeah, I'll say like, wow. You know, all of humanity will be saying, wow. And the door opens and the limousine that my brother or sister gets into and the angels take them to the door of heaven. Heaven opens and they enter into it. Imagine the feeling. Yours and mine. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knew. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knew who Hussein is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew all of the difficulties and tests that Imam Hussein alayhi salam was going to go through. When Imam Hussein alayhi salam was born, all of this news was given to his parents and to his grandfather. They were told that your son is going to be thirsty for 3 days and his neck is going to be cut. All of this Bibi Fatima Zahra salam alayhi, Imam Ali alayhi salam knew. But all of that, that they knew, we did not know, and the people at that time did not know. And they did not know how great Imam Hussein al-Sattuslam would be, that he will go through all of these trials and his faith will not waver.
I have a question.
Yes.
Why does Allah want us all to know about this?
Because then on the Day of Judgment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is raising Imam Hussein al-Sattuslam with all of this light, with all of the angels, you know, in front of him bowing down and all of humanity in awe, nobody will be able to ask the question, why have you gotten Hussein that status? Why that today Imam Hussein al-Sattuslam is Sayyid al-Shabab Ahl al-Jannah? Why is he the master of the people of heaven? Why is he the leader of the people of heaven? Nobody will ask that question, because in this earth, what Imam Hussein did, he deserves all of that. He deserves all of that, right? So the tests are made so that we can find out what we are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need to know. How would you know if you're truthful or not? How would you know?
You don't tell lies.
You don't tell lies, but how would you know that you are truthful? You can only know you're truthful when your mother asks you, what were you doing in the room? And when she asks you this question, now you will know whether you're truthful or not. And your mother will know also if you're truthful or not. Because if you said, I was doing my homework, but you were actually on the internet watching SpongeBob, sorry, and you were watching SpongeBob and you told her that you were doing homework, that's when you will find out whether you are truthful or not. And believe me, your mothers, they can find out too. Not just your eyes, the way your smile is, the way you look at her, everything she knows. She can tell you that you were not, because when you watch SpongeBob, there is something that happens to your face. It happens to your face, you know? Whatever that you look at, right? Whatever that you look at for an hour or two, this gets stuck in your head, and whatever gets stuck in your head, you start acting that way. So when she's going to ask you, were you doing your homework in China? She knows that this laugh is SpongeBob's laugh and you were actually not doing the homework, you were actually watching SpongeBob, so she'll find out. So in order for us to be able to find out who we are, these tests are designed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are many different types of tests. We'll see if we can go over a few of them, but even if you can't, just know that every single thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created is for you to be tested. Okay? And for you to become a source for the test of other. You are being tested, and through you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing others. Through the son and the daughter, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing the parents, and through parents, the daughter and the son are being tested. Right now, through me, you are being tested, and through you, I am being tested. You see? What is my test?
To get the knowledge right.
That's right. So my test is that I'm sitting here to give you the right knowledge. And your test is?
To act right.
That's right, to listen and to act right. If you do not listen and you do not act right, then you failed your test. You came for an hour, And somebody asked you, how did the Maulana, what was the Maulana's speech? Oh, he did a wonderful speech. Right. What did he say? I don't know. All of those people who attended the majlis, they failed in their test. If you cannot tell what the Maulana has said for 1 hour, you failed your test. And if the Maulana gives you the information that is not of Islam, he's failed his test. But you will be maybe punished later on, but the Maulana gets punished right away. The person who gives the wrong information about religion or takes away from religion or puts into religion, as soon as they step on this floor, that first step is either in heaven or hell. It's not a small test. If I could see heaven and hell under my feet, how would it be that I can sit down here? Those people who sit down here and who change religion for their own name, money, fame, they are judged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right the first step they take. Can you imagine that anybody would like to sit down on this? This is the place of the Prophet. This is the place of his feet. The reason I cannot sit here is because this is his place. But just maybe in his feet, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me the opportunity, that would be my honor. That I become the dirt under his feet. From the time that you and I woke up, we were being tested. When we saw the sun, we were being tested. When we went to school, we were being tested. When we went to work, we were tested. In all of these tests, whatever we have done, we will be shown on the Day of Judgment. My brothers and sisters, do not fail in these tests. Do not fail in these tests. The tests that you think that if you fail are important, those are not the tests. The test of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the test that if you fail, there's nothing. I'll tell you a little bit of something that you can do, and then we'll move on to more things that we have to talk about on this topic. When you get up in the morning, promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala something that you want to get rid of or something that you want to gain. Okay? Alright, and I'll repeat this process again. So, I don't know if you guys have this, but for example, if you did have this disease of lying, okay? I don't know like if you have. But if you had the disease of lying, when you wake up in the morning, say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh Allah, today I'm not going to lie." Okay? With me? Tomorrow morning when you get up, you will say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "I will not lie." Throughout the whole day, you will be careful that you do not lie. Okay? Before you go to sleep, you will tell you whether you lied or not. With me? Three process. In the morning, you say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not lie. During the day, you will be careful that you do not lie. And at night, you will tell me that you have lied or not. With me? Three things. Promise. Be careful. And tell you or judge yourself. Do the math. Let's say tomorrow you woke up and you said, "I'm not going to lie," and the whole day you were careful and you did not lie, and at night you found out you did not lie. You say, "Thank you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing me today that I did not fail in the test of saying the truth." Right?
Subhanallah.
Second day, same thing. You get up, you promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You verbalize. You say, I promise, oh Allah, I will not lie today. Throughout the whole day, you become careful. At night, you find out whether you lied or not. Let's say you did not lie. You say, thank you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing me today. How many days now?
Two.
The third day you wake up, you say, I promise oh Allah, I will not lie. And all day you are careful. When you tell it at night, you find out that you lied. Now what happens to the clock? Zero. Resets. Now you're not going to count 2 days that you did not lie. Because you lied, now it goes back to zero. You guys have seen Hulk? Have you seen Hulk? Okay. So this is what Hulk does. Yeah, Hulk. You know, Dr. Banner, he lives his life, you know, trying to control his anger. So one day without accident, 2 days without accident, third day he became Hulk, for example. So if the third day he became Hulk, then it's like the count goes back to zero. 21 days is the number you have to remember. If continuously you do this for 21 days, guaranteed you will not lie anymore. Guaranteed you will not lie anymore, because that would become, truth will become your habit. Thank you. So then you move on to the next thing. Let's say you do backbiting. The same principle. You get up in the morning, say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will now backbite the whole day, you're careful. At night, you tell me. If you do all of this in 21 days, continuously, maybe it will take you 6 months. Because on the 20th day, you lied. Guess what happens? The clock goes back to zero and you start again. But if you do that, and if I do that, all of our bad things that we have, we can get rid of them. Then we move on to the things that are good. Like for example, I say the truth. Now I have this quality that I say the truth. Because if you're not lying, guess what other quality you have? You say the truth. Saying the truth is a good quality. Now you start with saying the truth as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, today I promise to you that today even in my thoughts I will not lie. Even in my thoughts I will not lie. And all day you become careful of your thoughts. Or you get up in the morning and say, oh Allah, even in my thoughts I will not do backbiting. You know we can do backbiting in our thoughts? God, look, he's here. That guy who I don't like, who lies all the time, he's here. But you didn't verbalize it, you thought it. Even in your thoughts, you will become careful. Slowly, 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 by the time you are my age, you will be a Shia of Imam Ali. You will become a Shia of Imam Ali alayhi salam. You will be like Hazrat Abu Zar Ghaffari. You will be like Hazrat Abu Zar Ghaffari. He was the most truthful under the sky. But if you do not do that, if you do not work on yourself, just by saying that I'm the Shia of Imam Ali alayhi salam does not make me a Shia. It does not make me a Shia. When you say, and okay, for my little brothers and for my elders and for my sisters, I'll explain that, and that you can remember in your life. When I say I am a Shia, basically what it means is that the information I have about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the Prophet, about the Imams, about the justice of Allah, about the Day of Judgment, about namaz, about fasting, about Hajj, about Amr bin Maruf and Munkar and so forth, and about the diseases of the soul and the beauty of the soul, all of this information I have through the chain of Ahlul Bayt al-Muslim. That goes back to the Holy Prophet. That's all it means. The information I'm giving to you, I'm giving to you through the chain of Ahlul Bayt. The information we got from them through the Holy Prophet. With me? When somebody says I'm a Sunni, what they are saying is that the information about Allah, about the Holy Prophet, about the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the Day of Judgment, about namaz, about fasting, about hajj, about Amr bin Ma'ruf wa Nahi Munkar, about the diseases of the soul and the beauty of the soul, I am getting through the chain which is other than the chain of Ahlul Bayt al-Husn. That goes back to the Holy Prophet. That's the only thing. Neither that person saying I'm a Sunni becomes a Sunni, neither I become a Shia. In order for that person to become a Sunni, is so to follow the seerah and the way of life of the Holy Prophet. And the way I will become a Shia is for me to follow the way and the way to do life and the path of the Holy Prophet. Both of us are supposed to follow the path. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. That in the example of the Prophet, you have the best of examples. Somebody came to Imam Ali and he said, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. If you can recite a louder salawat so that your eyes will become more brighter, because they're getting dim now. What I mean by dim is like when they start going like this.
Nare Haydari.
So a person came to Imam and he said that he asked a few questions. After Imam answered those questions, he said, you are a prophet. And Imam said, may he used an Arab in Arabic, which is to show a lot of anger. Imam got angry at him. He said, I'm not a prophet. I have the honor to be the slave of the Prophet. I have the honor of being the slave of the Prophet. Imam Ali followed the path and the way of life of the Holy Prophet. Imam Hassan followed the way and the path of the Holy Prophet. Imam Hussein followed the path and the way of life of the Holy Prophet. All of our Imams, they followed the way and the life of the Holy Prophet. Abbaluna Muhammad, Ausutuna Muhammad, Akhiruna Muhammad, Kulluna Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjal faraja.
Hazrat Salman Farsi, Rahmatullah alayhi, Hazrat Abu Zar Ghaffari, Rahmatullah alayhi, they followed the way and the path of the Holy Prophet. And when they followed it like Imam Ali, they were called the Shia of Ali. With me? With me? When Hazrat Abu Zar Ghaffari followed like Imam Ali, followed the path of the Prophet, the Holy Prophet said that he is the Shia of Ali. When in their intensity of their piety and righteousness and action, they resembled like the piety and the action of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the Holy Prophet then said that Abu Zar Ghaffari is the Shia of Ali. You do not just become a Shia just by saying that you were born in a Shia family. We are blessed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the information through the infallibles. We are blessed that our teacher is the sixth Imam. We're blessed that our teacher is the fourth Imam. We're blessed that we have such great teachers who are the teachers of everyone, and no one is their teacher. Everyone is their students, but no one is their teacher. And they learned all of that knowledge through the transfer of that knowledge from the Holy Prophet to Imam Ali, to Imam Ali, to Imam Hassan and Hussein, and Imam Sajjad and Imam Baqir, and so forth. It's a very big blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed you and I. If we do not act upon that information, we will be asked on the Day of Judgment. If I do not follow what Imam Ali has said, I have failed the test of Vilayat. I failed it. Even if I say that I love you, Imam Ali. Imam Ali, as I said to you, does not need. Did I say this to you? Imam Ali does not need fans. He needs followers. Imam Ali has a lot of fans today. He has 200, 300 million fans today. If Imam Ali was to come today, these 300 million fans will be in a line to get an autograph from Imam Ali. But Imam Ali والسلام, has very few followers. Even at that time, Imam Ali had fans, didn't have followers. What do you call me? Maulana. Maulana means? Our master. Maula na means our master. So when you say Maulana, do you feel that you are my slave? No, you know?
Yeah.
No. When you call me Maulana, you don't feel that you are my slave. But you call me Maulana because that happens to be my title. The people who call me Maulana, do they follow what I do? Probably not. But do I have fans? Yes. I have fans. And maybe one of you, one or two in here. But how many followers? Maybe nobody. We call Imam our Maulana. Right? Maulaya, our my Maula. But do we feel like his slave? But do we feel like his fan? Yes. Shia does not mean fan, it means follower.
SubhanAllah.
Shia does not mean fan, it means follower. What you can say is, a fan is like a muhib. Somebody who loves. That's it, just a fan. But a Shia is a follower. Imam Hussein had fans in Karbala or followers?
Followers.
Where were the fans? In Kufa. Yes.
Thousands of letters.
I mean, not yes, thousands of letters. The fans?
Yazid army comes first.
Yeah. So the fans were actually in Kufa, they were in Medina, they were in Makkah. But in Karbala, Imam Hussein had followers. What did the fans in Kufa do? They betrayed him. They didn't want to give up their lives. They liked him, but they did not want to follow him. The people in Makkah, they just rather would stay in front of the house of Allah and do their worship, which would have gotten them no avail. When Imam of the time is asking who is ready to take the blood out of their forehead and they decide to leave him alone. When in Medina, the people are coming and telling him, it's okay, I know that Yazid is a bad person, I know that Yazid is a wrong person to be as a leader of Muslim, but we have done the bayat allegiance, so what can you do? Imam Hussein had followers. Even his sons and daughters were followers of Imam Hussein. His nephew was a follower of Imam Hussein. He was the Shia of Imam Hussein. When his nephew Hazrat Qasim was asked, How is death to you? Sweeter than honey. He said, are we not on the truth? We are on the truth. Then to give your life for the truth is sweeter than honey. Hazrat Ali Akbar was a follower of Imam Hussain. Hazrat Ali Akbar knew that it's not just because he is my father, this is the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Imam of the time is saying that you need to help. If I do not help, I will not be successful. Hazrat Ali Akbar went and followed his Imam. He followed his Imam till the last moment. When the spear struck him from the back and came out from the front. When he fell on the ground, he did not say, oh my father, he said, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Bibi Sakina was a follower of Imam Hussain. Imam Hussain had a 6 month follower too. When Imam Hussain was there all alone in the battlefield of Karbala and he said, is there anyone who's going to help me? When he said that, is there anyone who's going to help me? Hazrat Ali Asghar, who was dehydrated, hardly could move, found the strength to throw himself out of the cot. These are all followers of the Imam of the time. Bibi Sakina, when Imam Hussain was about to leave, Imam Hussain comes out of the tent after saying Khudafiz. He comes out of the tent, he looks at his right, he looks at his left, and he finds himself to be all alone. Every time somebody went to the battlefield, Imam Hussain was there to put them up on the horse or to say Khudafiz to them. When Imam Hussain comes out, he looks left, he looks right, Bibi Zainab looks at Imam Hussain, understands that my brother is all alone. Bibi Zainab goes up and says, brother, I will hold the rein of the horse, you get up. Imam Hussain sits down on Zuljanah. He asks Zuljanah to go, it doesn't move. He says to Zuljanah that you have been a loyal servant to me. I will never ask you of anything else. Just take me to the battlefield. Zuljanah looks down. Imam Hussain looks down. There's Bibi Sakina holding the leg of Zuljanah saying, do not take my father to the battlefield. Anyone who has gone hasn't come home, hasn't come back. Imam Hussain comes down from Zuljanah. Bibi Sakina was either 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years old. I don't know the fathers, if you have a 3-year-old daughter. I don't know if the mothers can picture a 3-year-old daughter. The love that a 3-year-old daughter has with the father is immense. It's an instinctive love. It is in their blood. Bibi Sakina, Imam Hussain holds her in his arms. And the enemies of Allah said that we never heard Hussain cry that loud. He cried so loud that the enemies of Allah say he never cried that loud. He had given Khudafiz to Ali Akbar. He never cried that loud. He said to Bibi Sakina, he said, my daughter, if you want, I'll stay. But if I stay, the religion of your grandfather is going to finish. Now look at this 3-year-old daughter of Imam Hussain. Her blood, herself is saying, this is my father. is going to go to the battlefield and not come back, I will become an orphan. I don't know if Bibi Sakina knew that later on, not just an orphan, but she will be slapped on her face. Her earrings will be taken away. She will be made a prisoner. Her ropes will be tied in her hands, that she would die in a prison. I don't know if she knew that, but she knew that my father is going to die. She says to her father, "Oh, father, to save the religion of my grandfather, of our grandfather, go. Go." That is a follower of the Imam of the time, for whom the importance is the religion, the principles of Islam. My brothers, my sisters, let's not have the sacrifice of Bibi Sakina, of Hazrat Ali Asghar, of Hazrat Qasim, of Hazrat Ali Akbar go to waste. Let's not do that with our actions. Let's show on the Day of Judgment that we passed in the exams, that we used them as the means to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That these tears that you cried are means for you to get close to Him. That our mothers are not going to be disappointed in front of Bibi Sakina. That I could not raise my daughter to be like you. That I couldn't raise my son to be like Qasim. I couldn't raise my son to be like Ali Akbar. So that we're not disappointed. Oh, Allah bless us to utilize the means to pass the exams, to get to you, for us to be the followers and the friends of our Imam, for him to come as soon as possible.
Salam Kabe Dil Ha Hussain Jaan, Salam Sham Ma Fil Ha Hussain Jaan,
Hussain Jaan, Hussain Jaan, Hussain Jaan, Hussain Jaan, Hussain Jaan, Hussain Jaan.
Salam ei babera mat pabe janna, Salam ei babera mat pabe janna, Salam ei rahbare wala Hussain jaana, Salam ei miveye kalbe payamba, Salam ei miveye قلبِ پیامبر سلامِ زادِ زهرا حسین جانم
حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جان حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جان
همیشه بلبم نام تو باشم همیشه بلبم نام تو باشم همی گویم که ای مولا حسین جانم قامت را از دل و جان میپذیرم قامت را از دل و جان میپذیرم
Hussain Jaanam, Hussain Jaanam, Hussain Jaan. Hussain Jaanam, Hussain Jaanam, Hussain Jaan.
Salam ei Kabe dil ha Hussain Jaan. Salam ei Kabe dil ha Hussain Jaan. Salam ei Sham'e ma. Fil ha Hussain Jaanam. سلامی بابرا مات باب جنات سلامی راه بره والا حسین جانا سلامی میفه قلب پیامبر سلامی میفه قلب پیامبر سلامی زاده زهرا حسین جانا
حسین جانم حسین حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم
همیشه بلبم نام تو باشد همیشه بلبم نام تو باشد همی گویم که ای مولا حسین جانم قامت را از دل و جان می‌پذیرم قامت را از دل و جان می‌پذیرم کنم برپا از یاد را حسین جانم
حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین